God, glory to God. Amen. If you could stand one more time, I'm looking at John, the 19th chapter, starting in verse number 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" And Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath a greater sin." Lord, we ask your blessing on the word. We're overwhelmed with your love for each and every one of us, that you'd sustain such indignity and such hurt in place of us. We ask your blessing, anointing. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Every time I read these scriptures, it hurts me because of the agony and the pain that Jesus endured because of me, because of you. If I were the only one, he still would have endured the cross. And all I can do, all you can do, is say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for enduring a mock trial. For being slapped in the face by soldiers. For the crown of thorns that was pressed down on your head and the blood that ran down into your eyes. Thank you, Jesus, for enduring the mocking without a word in your defense. Thank you for the beating that you took, that this morning, this afternoon, we could be healed. Thank you for carrying your own cross on a bloody back, and every step was an agony. We understand that. Thank you for the unimaginable pain that you endured, and thank you for not calling 10,000 angels to deliver you. What I'm saying is thank you for your unbelievable love for me and for you. And the best thing I can do to thank you is to lay down my life for you and to be obedient to your word, conforming to your image. Not only physically, but my attitude, my attributes. It's the greatest thank you there is, by living the way he wants us to live. Would you turn to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, please? First Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickeneth by the Spirit. The only way we could have the Holy Ghost is for him to go to Calvary. If you go to Colossians, the first chapter, Colossians 1 and verse number 18, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is, in all things he might have preeminence, first in rank. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We can be blameless because of what he has done for us at Calvary. And then Romans, the fifth chapter, verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or exhibited his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son or flesh, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or reconciliation. We are now blameless because of the blood of Calvary. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The cross is the power of God. There is a power in preaching the cross, and yet many avoid preaching the brutality of Calvary, of the cross, to opt for the blessings of God. Let's not talk about the blood. Let's not talk about the cruelty that happened on this day. They want to take the blood and gore out of religion, yet it is the scene of the cross that gives us the freedom from death. Philippians, the third chapter, Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 17 says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Jesus, or Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, whose mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change your vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the workings whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He had to go to the cross. He had to raise from the dead, put on a glorious body that one day we could raise from the dead. One day we could put on this glorious body like his glorious body. Oh, I want the glorious body fashioned as to his glorious body, but that can only happen as I continue to cling to the cross. You see, there had to be a death before there could be an immortality, before there could be power. It wasn't until after the cross that Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He never said that before the cross. And before we had our own crucifixion, our own death, our own burial and resurrection, we did not have the power in order to overcome sin. Hallelujah. Before we get our glorious body. Something happened to me a few years ago, back in 2009, when my wife and I went to the East Coast to preach for the Harveys. We went a side trip to New York City, and we went to Ground Zero where the Twin Towers fell on 9/11/2001. They're almost completely finished with that new tower right now, and it truly is magnificent. Just a couple of blocks away from the site when we were there stood a huge steel I-beam cross that they pulled out of the wreckage of 9/11, which now is a memorial in the lobby of the brand new Tower of Freedom. It was found by rescue workers 3 days after 9/11. Could it be a coincidence that they found it 3 days after 9/11? And on it, there is welded these words, the cross at Ground Zero, a sign of comfort for all. The cross is a sign of comfort for all. And then under it, it says, it was blessed and rescued on October 4th, 2001. And I remember walking under that cross and feeling something. And when I looked at the October 4th, 2001, I realized that's my birthday. And that's your birthday. That was the greatest gift that God could give us, to a brand new life, to a brand new birth. And as I looked at this cross and remembered all of the lives that were lost by the enemy, I remembered what Jesus did for me to save me from the enemy of my soul, to give me freedom and a new birth. And I remember standing on the sidewalk, and the Harveys were walking by, and there were hundreds of people on the sidewalk. They had just temporarily leaned this huge cross 30 foot in the air against the building. And as I looked at it, I began to weep uncontrollably, and I thought maybe there'd be people in New York who would think there's something wrong or crazy about me, but I guess you can get away with anything in New York City. But I remember this awesome feeling that I'll never look at the cross the same again. I saw it like I had never seen it before, a symbol of power, but even greater than that, a symbol of our love. For the preaching of the cross, to them that perish, foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. I'll never envision it the same. Even as Pentecostals, we can get to the place where we just walk by the cross just to celebrate, but never go back to the cross and kneel down and thank him one more time. Never look up to remember what Jesus did for me. Even this world recognizes that this cross is a memorial and that we should always remember the freedom that we have. God's greatest challenge was not creating this world or even putting together the cosmic heavens. It wasn't dealing with the devils and the backslidden angels, but his greatest challenge was the cross, suffering a horrible death for people that were far from him, far from the cross. He exhibited his love for us while we were yet sinners, and that's why there is so much power in the cross today. It's a symbol of what he did for us. The God that laid down his life for us, certainly with all of his intellect, certainly with all of what he understands, there should be an alternative. There should be another way that he could have taken rather than suffering. And today, there are so many who preach the alternative to, you don't have to die, you don't have to conform, you do not have to conform to the image of Christ. You can be who you are, do what you want, and it's not important. But if it weren't so important for us to take up our cross, then would Jesus have taken up his cross and died for us? In Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand, or has the power of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the cross. Thank God that when we return to this place on Sunday morning, we can celebrate because he's not dead, he's alive. Yeah. Hallelujah. But more important, because of the cross, I'm not dead, but I'm alive to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not bound by the things I used to be bound. And I have a freedom that I can walk up to the base of the cross anytime I want and just simply raise my hands and say, thank you, God. I love you for what you have done for me. It wasn't my brilliance. It wasn't my determination that caused me to live for you. But it was the power of the cross that allowed us to have a quickening of your spirit, that we think differently and we act differently and we talk differently and we walk differently, and we're transformed because of a cross that few people stood to watch or even acknowledge. But I'm grateful that this afternoon I can acknowledge that the greatest event on the entire planet was this God who robed himself in flesh and allowed his creation to nail spikes in his hands and feet and say, it is finished. I paid the price. And now you can have what only the cross could bring you. Would you stand with me? I know we don't take a lot of time on Good Friday, and I know people have obligations, but if you have some time this morning, I'm wondering if you couldn't bow your knee and thank him one more time for what he has done for each and every one of us. There's something that is so powerful about simply saying thank you to people, but especially to God. We're recognizing him. Sunday morning, we're taking communion, and there are churches that take communion every service because they, in error, believe that it is what absolves them from their sins. But it's very clear that Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembering the cross. He's commanded us to remember the cross. And folks, it's so easy for us to remember the blessings. Remember the day we were filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember the day, remember when he healed me. Remember when the check came in the mail and I wasn't expecting it. Oh, remember all of those things that are memorials in our life. But Jesus never said, remember those times. He said, remember the cross and what I've done for you. And there needs to be a resurgence, a greater understanding and awareness of what he has done for us that we could never repay,
But the only way we can do that is to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Not my will, but thy will. That's what brought Him to the cross. And that's what will bring us to heaven. Not my will, but thy will. Oh, that's foolish. You know, you really don't have to be strapped with all those restrictions. No, no, you don't understand. There's a God who died for me. And I want to live up to what He paid for. This altar is open. Would you come?
Redemption's here.